Mr. England, I think the number one question, I think it was asked six times, if I counted right, was in your returning to this position, what was it that led you? I like the way some people phrased it as far as what led you to do this? What has the Lord shown you? What has this year away from the position taught you about the position? So I think that's probably the number one question on everybody's minds. If you wouldn't mind, address that first.
Okay. I have thoroughly enjoyed my year off. The reason I left in the first place was stress related. I think several of you know that my heart went into AFib a year ago, January. They had to shock it back into place. And the cardiologist can't say what caused that, but in my opinion, not being a doctor, but in my opinion, it was the stress that I was under and things that I was doing here. And it had been going on for quite a while. In fact, I had told Pastor 2 years prior to my last year that you know, I was giving him a 2-year notice on leaving, and it was all primarily stress-related issues. So some of the things that have happened, I am much more rested. My resting heart rate when I left here never went below 100. I measured anyway by my Fitbit. And now on my Fitbit, it's regularly in the 70s or 80s. And so I do feel refreshed. So that was one thing. The other thing is, and in fact, this is the first question that I have in front of me, is there a plan to help him not take on too many school duties? Well, I think that was already in place. Before I left, we had the opportunity to hire some new teachers. Abby Kibler came in and took my wife's place in kindergarten. We needed a science teacher, and Alex stepped into that. But John Ennis also came along and became our athletic director and history teacher. And that, to me, for my personal well-being, is the biggest benefit, because I will not have anything more to do with sports. And that will save me a significant amount of time. When I left my last year, I coached junior high boys basketball and girls basketball. During the soccer season, I coached varsity soccer, and Ken Lee had the junior high soccer team, but he could only make it to games because of his work schedule, so I also had them for practice. And that, plus other responsibilities and other things going on, really meant very long days, and again, this has been going on for quite a period of time. When I said I was interested in coming back, there had to be some changes, and I think everybody in the school committee and pastor and staff, because this question comes from a staff member, realized that I needed some changes in my school duties and responsibilities. And so no more sports. That's going to be difficult. Had a conversation with John a few days ago, and immediately I said, oh, I could call him, and I could call him. And then I, 5 minutes later, I said, John, it's going to be very difficult for me to step away, but I want to. You should be the one as athletic director to call this person and this person. And he's already done that. So I am stepping away from things and hopefully making my schedule better as a result. The other thing is, there is a need for a principal. I knew that Will, his desire was to do it for 1 year, and we haven't found one yet. And I never disliked what I was doing. It was, I disliked the long, long, long hours that had taken place over a long period of time. So if my schedule can be shorter than what it has been, fewer hours, then I'd be happy to step back in and do what I'm supposed to do, or what I really have a passion for doing. But again, I really have enjoyed my time at Chick-fil-A. I've met some wonderful people there. Lots of Christians work at Chick-fil-A, and I've had the opportunity to, I think, encourage a lot of young people who are Christians there, sharing verses with them and other things. Okay, Pastor, do you want me to just go on and start going through these emails now?
Sure, that would be fine. And if I get more in, I will pass those along to you via email as they come in. So please press right ahead.
Okay. Some of these emails have multiple questions. Here's the next few questions. What do you see as the big challenge for you this coming year? Two, first of all, is financial. As somebody in our school committee said on Tuesday night, our current model of finances isn't working, which is a very accurate statement, and we have to do something different. There's a couple of things in progress, and we'll see how the Lord works in both situations. One of them, Pastor and I talked about this prior to this meeting. I think I still need to keep it confidential. But the other one is we're looking at trying to get to a presentation for some people who could donate significant money to Heritage Christian School. We have some very wealthy people who have their grandchildren, or especially grandchildren, in our school who could contribute significant amount of money. And so our plan is to have a presentation for them coming up fairly shortly. That's one. And then there's another way that we're looking at it as well. One part of our business meeting, I believe next Sunday evening, is about the CARES Act and finances coming from that source as well. So that's one of the biggest challenges. I would say the second one is the student body itself. We are not the same school that we were 5 years ago. 5 years ago, the students at our school, most of them had started when they were very young in our school, went all the way through, and even those who had transferred in were very good students academically. But now, in the last 5 years, we have a significant number of students who are really coming from home situations that are very, very challenging. And as a result of that, one of the results is that they have not received the kind of academic education that they should have received up to this point. And there are literally kids in our school who really do need somebody to be with them every day for a few hours, helping to tutor them or giving them some kind of a one-on-one instruction. And our teachers can't give one-on-one instruction for a couple hours a day. And so what I'm hoping is that we can get some people to volunteer, maybe some people who have retired who would be willing to take a day and spend 2 hours on a particular day of the week, or 45 minutes every day, or whatever their schedule will work out to be, to really come in and help us, because I do think we need some help. We've got kids who are struggling in reading, and they need a one-on-one help in that. So that would be a second challenge for us. Next question, do you have any expectation for your longevity in this position? I would say there's a two-part question there. When I told Pastor, actually before I told Pastor that I was planning to leave in a couple of years, I had already started looking for a replacement. And they, frankly, are not out there. I just talked to Mentor Christian School on Tuesday about something, and the principal there, who's in his 70s, and I kidded him and said, I thought you were retiring 2 years ago. And he said, well, one of these days. And he said, he had just talked to somebody who was 80 years old, who wanted to retire many years ago. And finally, at 80 years old, he found a principal to take his place. So if somebody steps forward in the next year or two, I'd be happy to turn the position over to them, somebody who's got more years ahead of them in education than what I will have. Ideally, it would be somebody who maybe we grow in our ministry, who would be interested in being an administrator someday, or if not, somebody from the outside, the opportunity to work with them for a year or two before they took over that position. If that doesn't take place, I could see myself, the way I feel right now, going to about 70 years old or so, which would give me another 8 or 9 years. And then after that, I think you should be looking for another principal at that time. All right. Third question. If you could change something in HCS facilities, what would be your first desire, and what would be your ultimate desire? First desire. We're already working on it. We have money set aside in our Heritage Foundation to remodel the science room. And when Alex stepped in, whose degree is in science education, I told him we're in desperate need of a remodel of this room, and we wanted to wait until we had somebody with a science background before we made any changes there. In talking to him earlier this week, he said, I would like to teach one more year because he taught chemistry and physical science this year. Next year, he'll be teaching biology and physics. And he said, once I have taught all those high school classes, then I think I'll have a better idea of what I would like to see in the science room. So he would like to delay it for a year. In the meantime, though, he did say, I would love to have science tables. And that has changed from year to year. If I had a science teacher with a science degree, they typically wanted science tables. And if I didn't, they typically wanted desks in there. Well, I'd love to have science tables in there as well. And a few years ago, there were school auctions all over the place, and you could find some that were relatively inexpensive. I'm not sure that there are too many school auctions anymore, but if somebody knows a source for science tables, we would potentially do that this summer. That's the first desire. The ultimate desire, probably tear down the school and start over again from scratch. If we're not doing that, it would be nice to have a gymnasium that is a full-size gymnasium rather than a smaller size. I do think it handicaps us in a few different ways, and I would like to see that happen one of these years. Okay. What are you hearing from other school administrators about the future of our Christian schools? I talked to an administrator and chairman of a school committee at another school in Lima this week, and I think we're all in agreement that the issue for us is finances, and there are schools out there that are doing very well financially, but they tend to be charter schools that have taken money from the state over a period of years. Those of us who are non-chartered, non-tax-supported schools are really struggling financially right now, and that's pretty much across the board. And so, you know, what's the future? God knows the future of Christian schools, but for several schools, the future doesn't look good. I just read this afternoon that a national organization of Catholic schools has said there will be 100 Christian schools that do not open this fall. They're going under. I do not know how many Christian schools will go under before this fall. I do know that the American Association of Christian Schools said anticipate a 10% decrease in your enrollment. That's what happened with the recession of 2008, and they anticipate that will happen again. Okay. Next question. What do you see as the future of BCSO? A few things. One, I went on the board of BCSO 24 years ago. So 23 years I was on the board, certainly wasn't on it this year. When I started on the board, I was the youngest member at 37 or 38. Right now, I am still probably one of the youngest members on the board at 61. And I do think there needs to be a change in leadership and some younger people coming on. Now, I tried to reflect when I saw this question. Is there anybody in their 30s or 40s that are on the board of BCSO? And I'm not sure that there is. There may be one. Jeremy Bicklehop may be in that age range. But the rest of us are late 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on. And I do think there needs to be a change bringing on other people with some other ideas. Another concern that I have is that as BCSO, we're very strict on our membership. You have to be a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school. As a result of that, we have lost some schools in the last couple of years, like a Mentor Christian, which I think we have good fellowship with them, a Northside Christian school in Columbus. Both of those received a charter and left BCSO. In both cases, I think they were both interested. I know Mentor was. They were interested in staying in BCSO, and I think it would be good for that board to consider changing and realizing maybe that non-chartered, non-tax supported is not the only issue out there, and maybe we could broaden that. If we don't, my concern is how long will we continue with some of our programs? In fact, there is conversation that the tournaments that BCSO has traditionally done may not happen this year because there may not be enough teams. And again, I don't know which sports, but there's a real concern in basketball, I know, and maybe in soccer. Soccer's just barely had enough teams in previous years. So there may be a time where we're dropping tournaments at the end of the year because we simply do not have enough teams. So that's kind of where the future is, or where the present is for BCSO. And I think there is maybe a need for some change in some areas. Okay. Other questions. What are your thoughts on school uniforms? Do you think it would be beneficial? We have not taken a survey in several years now. It's probably been at least 15 years since we took a survey. But when we did, it came out exactly 50% of our parents were for it and 50% were against it. And I mean, it was exact right there. And the elementary tended to be more for uniforms. Parents of older students were less in favor of it. I'm not, I guess you could make the case that maybe school uniforms, some people would make the case that in the long run, it would save money for parents. Maybe that's true, I'm not sure, but it doesn't solve dress issues. The schools that I have seen that have school uniforms, whatever issues that that we have without having it, they have the same issues primarily, or basically the same issues. So I'm not sure that it solves any, it's a solution to anything when it comes to students violating your dress code. My opinion is have students who have a heart for God, and the dress code issue takes care of itself. Again, I'm open to the idea if parents, the majority of parents, a significant majority, think that it would be helpful to them, I'm not opposed to it. But I haven't heard that much from that many parents over the years. Okay. Do you think the coronavirus shutdowns are going to hurt or help enrollment? I've already answered that one. I do think it's going to hurt enrollment. We have parents who are out of work, and we're going to potentially lose some kids over it. I'll come back to that question in a future question that I know it's on in one of these emails. Okay. Next question: how will we promote the school to the Findlay area? School committee has already talked about that a few months ago, and one of the things that I did before I came here, and I wasn't the principal at Licking County Christian Academy, I was the assistant principal for most of my years there. I had a drama team, and we practiced first semester and second semester. We visited usually about 7 or 8 churches on Sunday nights in the Licking County area. And it was a great discipleship ministry, and it was a great way to promote our school. I would like to do that again, and there's been conversation about that and developing a drama team for our school and going out. There are a couple of issues. In the last 20-plus years, a lot of churches no longer have a Sunday night service. So finding places for us to go on a Sunday evening is going to be challenging. And I'm not convinced that there's going to be that many pastors who are going to be willing to give up their pulpit on a Sunday morning. So that's one of the issues about doing this. But having the students do music and drama, and frankly, the message that I delivered this morning is... when I originally prepared it before this coronavirus, my thought was to use that message in churches in this community. So those are some of my ideas about how to promote the school. We could do advertising. We've talked about, we have run Google ads before, and we can do things like that. They're relatively inexpensive. However, I don't think we've ever had any contacts from anyone based on ads on Google or Facebook ads or anything like that. Assuming there will be changes, what are changes you intend to make at Heritage Christian School? I don't want to come across as presuming things, but I am a school committee member. So as a school committee member, I felt I at least had the right to go and talk to teachers ahead of your vote. And so I have talked to every teacher at Heritage Christian School this past school year. I just finished up earlier this week talking to all of them and asking them, what would you like to see changed? What do you need? What did we do this year that wasn't done in previous years that you liked? And what were things that maybe we stopped doing this year and you liked in the past? And I got their answers. I asked them all to email me results. And so I've got a list of emails of things that they said. There was really nothing earth-shattering. Pretty much the way the school ran this past year is the way it has run in the past. So I'm not thinking there's going to be significant changes. With the exception that when Pastor Michalek was here, he became our Bible teacher, and he obviously could not teach all Bible classes at the same time. And I am very grateful for his ministry here for the last two or three years. He helped us tremendously. However, he is not going to be here this coming school year. And as a result of that, I do believe we're going to go back to Bible classes in the morning, and all students having Bible at the same time as much as possible. There is going to be one challenge because we are involved with Millstream Education anymore, and we've got three students enrolled this year in that. There is going to be a scheduling, it's going to create a scheduling nightmare, to tell you the truth. And so it may mean that one Bible class does not meet first period and all the others do. The reason I like that is because we do have a built-in devotional time for them, and we have a longer first period. And we couldn't make every class period as long as the first period class. And so in talking to some teachers, they weren't sure that the devotional time was like we want it to be. And so we were planning to go back to several teachers teaching a Bible class, maybe breaking it up, a junior high boys class, junior high girls, high school boys, high school girls class, and really develop more small intimate groups for more discussion. So that would be the change that comes to mind. Same person had this second question. What will make this coming year even better than previous years? I guess what I just said may make it a little better. And hopefully volunteer help will make it a better year. Other than that, I'm not sure how to answer more than what I just answered. And then their third question, and you'll find out who sent this email in, who had a better record this last year, the Detroit Red Wings or the Minnesota Wild? And the Minnesota Wild. And the person who sent this email in, I took him to a Red Wings Wild game this year, and his team clobbered my team. It was the worst hockey game I've ever been to, and so I'll probably not take him to any more Red Wing games after this.
We want to know now if you're also going to take us to Ohio State football games.
Absolutely not. Sorry. Actually, not too sorry. Okay. How much could we grow enrollment before we need to add additional faculty and staff? We could grow enrollment significantly. We have lots of classes that have 3, 4, 6 kids in it. And we certainly could double in size at least without adding additional faculty. And if we went more than that, I'm not even convinced we would have to add more faculty other than it may be somebody who tutors as a full-time tutor various kids and pulls them out of the classroom. But other than that, we could grow, we could double or even triple in size potentially with the faculty that we already have. That may not make the faculty happy because it means more papers to grade, but we could grow significantly. What do you see as the biggest reason that Christian families in Hancock County do not send their kids to Heritage? The biggest reason is financial. This was really eye-opening to me this year because I went out looking for jobs and I sent out my resume to, well, I put it on Indeed.com and went to places and handed out personally places that I was interested in. And I got a couple of interviews, two or three interviews, and that was about it. But what I really discovered was the job of a lot of people in Hancock County are $15 an hour or less. If you're making $15,000 an hour, and if you want your children to stay at home with mom, you've got a $30,000 income. If we have one child, that's $4,000. Two children is, because it's a little bit more than $4,000 in the first child, it's probably $8,000 for two children. Three children is probably $11,000. If you're making $30,000 a year, you can't afford $11,000. And we did have in place half off tuition, but financially, that's a real strain for us. So we're in a dilemma that way. We need to find a way to be able to reduce our tuition to families in the county, because I do think that's the number one reason why we lose families is they come, they have the money saved up, but after 1 or 2 years, it's, we can't afford this, and they pull their children out of the school. Many of them do. And so if both parents work, you got a $60,000 income, and then potentially you could put your kids in the school, and it wouldn't be a huge strain on your family, but a lot of families don't want to do that and have mom and dad working full time. So to me, that's the biggest reason. Okay. I already answered that. That's first one is a question that was asked at the very beginning. And then here's the next one. In the morning message, you mentioned the number of Christian schools that had closed. How do you see the present financial situation of Heritage Christian School and what its prospects are for the future? Somewhat answered that one already, even in the last question. We need to find other sources of revenue other than tuition. How do you see Heritage Christian School as a ministry in terms of the Great Commission? We are making and maturing disciples. That's our responsibility. We have kids here who are not saved. The vast majority of them are in the elementary, I believe. And we keep preaching the gospel to them. And they have been given the gospel many, many times, and that will continue. Primarily, I think our student body is made up of Christians, and it's our responsibility to do what this morning's message was about, and that is to help them to mature and grow in Christ and become stable Christians who know how to live a sanctified life before the Lord. Okay, this question has already been answered. I'll just read you the question, but I've somewhat answered it. What can we do, or how can others help to allow you to be the most? Remember that one of the things you enjoyed the most was spending time investing in the students. And again, if we can get some volunteer help to do things. We already have some volunteers. I really appreciate Kathy Lyon, who last year took over keeping track of our textbook inventory. And she has done a good job with that. We've got books to purchase here in the next couple of weeks or so. And she's done a good job with helping us with that. That kind of thing those little responsibility or significant responsibilities that take some time, those could be given to somebody who would be willing to do it and has a strength in those particular areas. You said that Christian education is a responsibility of parents. How would you like to see the Christian school teachers working with parents to bring this about? I saw this question earlier today, and I would say communication. From what I am hearing from teachers and maybe a couple of parents as well, when we went to the online teaching, the communication improved. It had to improve. And as we go back to regular classes here in the school building, it would be nice if that communication continued. We need to pay attention to our parents. When our parents tell us that my child is overwhelmed with homework, or I get home from work and I am having to spend 2 or 3 hours with my child doing homework, we as faculty need to listen. And recognizing that, yes, we do have standards, but they're the parent and they're ultimately responsible for their child. And if they want us to cut back somehow, we've got to figure out a way to cut back. And we've just got to be better listeners, I think, and come up with better ideas of how to help students individually and not just say, we've got these standards, academic standards or whatever, and we are not willing to change those standards for any reason. That shouldn't be our attitude. Good question. In the morning message, you mentioned that there were 800 Christian schools in Michigan and Ohio years ago. How many are there now? I really have no idea. And I have, I mean, for the last 20 years, I have had no idea how many. I know there's a whole lot less. When I talked about Christian schools, that included Lutheran schools. It included schools that are Christian Reform, especially in the Grand Rapids area of Michigan. I have no connection with Christian Reform people or Lutheran people. I have no idea how many schools that they have lost over the years. If you're talking about schools in the Michigan Association of Christian Schools or the Ohio Association of Christian Schools, it's even hard for me to come up with that number. My guess is, and this is just an off-the-wall guess, is maybe 200 schools, maybe, in the two states.
I saw an additional question. You perhaps answered it about the impact of the coronavirus shutdowns.
Right.
And also, there was at least one where they were asking how they could participate in task force or working groups. Did you already answer that one as well?
No, are you looking ahead at emails? Are you?
No,
I'm looking behind. I think it's coming up, but I haven't got to it yet.
Okay, okay, great. It was earlier this afternoon. I think it's one of the first ones that came in.
Yeah, and that I'm doing the last first and the first last.
Got it.
This one already answered. How long do you want to continue as principal? I did answer that question. Has the year off given you a different perspective or outlook or renewed sense of priority? And I think I've answered that a little bit. Yes, in a sense, like I said, I really enjoyed my time at Chick-fil-A. The owner of our local franchise is a Christian. I've had the opportunity to talk to him about some biblical things. There's something going on. I talked to a member of our church this morning who's connected with him as well. And there's going to be maybe another ministry from our church to some of the employees at Chick-fil-A. And so there are people out there. You know, I worked with 25 or 30 high school students who are attending various schools around it, but are attending churches in our area. Yet there were only a couple of them that had at some time in their life, probably three of them, had attended a Heritage Christian school. And so there are students out there for us. And again, I do think it's a matter of making it affordable for parents, because I do think there are plenty of parents out there that are interested in Christian education for their kids. Okay. I must have skipped over somehow that coronavirus question, so let me answer it now, and then I've got one more email after that. The American Association of Christian Schools put out a couple of weeks ago a couple of podcasts about things you need to consider when you restart your school in the fall. One of the what they used as a model was a document written by an adjunct professor who teaches at Liberty University, used to be called Columbia Bible College, but they have another name now. It's in South Carolina, and he's an adjunct professor at another one. His name is Dr. Beadle. He had written a document on what you need to consider before a startup in the fall. Another document came from Kennesaw State University, which basically was the same idea. And the suggestion in those documents was to set up a task force. And I thought that was a really good idea. So we set one up. And actually, again, trying not to be presumptuous, but I am a member of the school committee. Therefore, set one up. And our first meeting is this coming Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. That committee is made up of school parents, some with three school parents, and the committee is about seven or eight people, but three of them are school parents. One of them has students in the high school, and two of them attend Calvary Baptist Church. One does not attend Calvary Baptist Church. I thought they all have unique perspectives on what happened the last quarter of the school year. And then we have some faculty involved. I'm involved. Reg Radke is involved because he's responsible for maintenance and custodial in the school. And what I did was I took the two documents that I was reading and I combined them together to come up with nine major questions that we need to answer. And underneath some of those nine questions are other questions that need to be answered as well to answer the question to the major question, so to speak. So there's probably 25 questions on there that we're going to start going through and answering them. They all deal with how to start up with this coronavirus now and the talk that it's going to come back in waves in the future. What should we do? And I really don't want to give my opinion, because I do want to hear the opinion of the task force and not just say, this is the way that I think we ought to do it. I will tell you that I don't think I talked to any parent or teacher who really loved the last quarter of the school year. All of them are ready for students and their children to get back to the walls here at Heritage Christian School. So that's what our commitment is, to get back here. The CDC has put out guidelines, and I have a diagram of it, of what needs to take place for schools to reopen in the fall. And I will bring that document as well as the questions to that meeting, that task force meeting. The thing that is the biggest obstacle is, what will our civil government say? Will they allow us to come back? I think we have a biblical responsibility to obey government authorities, Romans 13. And so if they say you cannot meet as a school, I don't see how we as a Christian school can violate that. However, all the other things we can meet, we can get it accomplished as far as social distancing, cleaning, and the other things that we need to discuss. And so that's what's going on right now with the task force. And they are primarily tasked with the coronavirus. Other issues such as financial, to me, those are more of a school committee, finance committee issue. And so therefore, I don't have this task force that's not set up to answer those kinds of things. All right. Now, the last question I see here, I think I got a new one in my inbox, but here's a question that I've already opened. This was the question about the task force. So that answers that question. Okay. Okay. And then another one here. Do you want to say anything about, this comes from Pastor, anything about the ice cream idea? There was a school in Texas that decided it would be great for them to deliver ice cream to the homes of all of their kids. I thought that was a great, that came out of that podcast as well. I thought that was a great idea. So also on Wednesday, after I finish with the task force, there are several of us who are going to go out, and our goal would be to try to hit everybody in the Findlay and local area with ice cream. Take ice cream for all the family members. Knock on their door and have them come out. We'll practice social distancing. We'll have our masks on. Ask them what kind of ice cream they want. Do you want a popsicle, ice cream cone, ice cream in a cup? We even got some fruit bars for those who have allergy issues. And we just hand it to them, say we appreciate you, and then move on to the next home after that. And the plan is, I think, for us to have two groups. I've mapped out the area. There will be a couple of families that live a long way away, and it may end up being my wife and I who deliver the ice cream to them on a different date. And if we miss some, we may have a makeup date, having a sign there saying, sorry, we missed you. We'll call you back and set up a time where we can deliver ice cream to your family as well. So that's kind of the plan right now.
Just so nobody gets excited that ice cream is coming your way, he is talking about students, Heritage Christian School students and families this year, just so you don't think he's coming to your house. That would be really something.
However, if you're going to enroll students this year at our school, I will be happy to deliver ice cream to your house too.
So. Hey, I just got this one in, so I will just ask this one this way, if I may. When are you available to start full time? My concern in asking the question is that it will take significant time to plan for this coming fall with the coronavirus.
I am available a week from tomorrow. If you vote on Sunday, I plan to be at work on Monday. I told Chick-fil-A that I believed I was coming back, that I was going back to be a school principal. And so they are aware of that. And they've been very, very good about my schedule. This coronavirus has been good for Chick-fil-A. Profits are actually up rather than down because of the drive-thru. As a result of that, I got full-time hours since the coronavirus started. I've been working 40 hours a week. And before that, I wasn't. This past week, I was about ready to ask a day off, and then the general manager said, well, I gave you 2 days off, and it happened to be one of the days that I was about ready to request. But because things have gone so well, Chick-fil-A gave all of their employees that worked at least 100 hours in the last couple months a bonus that just came in my paycheck, which exactly made up for the 2 days I was going to be off this past week. Another way that you see God works to meet your needs. And so I'm only scheduled to meet 2 days this week. I work Tuesday, Thursday, and then that's it. I'm done with Chick-fil-A after that. So a week from tomorrow, I'll be ready to start here.
You made a couple of comments there, and I wonder if there are any more about current needs. You mentioned science tables. And so if anyone is aware of a situation where you can help us get science tables for the science room. Were there other requests for equipment or supplies from teachers?
Yes. What I asked them, what I told them was, once we finish my individual meeting with you, if you would send me an email reminder, because I am not going to remember everything that we just discussed in this meeting. And the teachers have been very, very good about that. So I've probably got 15 emails here with things that we discussed individually. What comes to mind is we have three teachers who are in need of replacements for their iPads. And so we've got to do something, whether somebody knows of a place where we can get them refurbished, where we can buy some that are newer models that have been refurbished. If you can get us a better price, great. But right now, I'm anticipating we're spending about $850 on three new iPads for the upcoming school year. I think there was a teacher who asked for a computer. In fact, I know there was one, and I haven't passed that one along to Ryan Yoder yet. And then not sure about Chromebooks. We are one of the things that happened this year was Chromebooks were given out to, when the coronavirus started, to 7th through 12th grade rather than 9th through 12th. Teachers really liked that. It meant the purchase of, I think it was 15 new Chromebooks, but will the current ones that we have that are older, how many of those need to be trashed? And I don't have an answer to it yet. That was something where Pastor Michalek was working. He has been working on that for the last couple of years. And he, I believe, is coming back here sometime this week to finish out the Chromebook issue and determine which ones are still fine and which ones we need to get rid of. But there's a potential that we will need to purchase another 10 or so Chromebooks as well. I just don't know yet if that's true.
I will make one comment. You mentioned the CARES Act. We are not planning to get into a discussion of that at this meeting. We actually announced it in Glimpses the other day that discussion, we believe, is going to take place at the regular business meeting at the end of June. And there's a couple of reasons behind that. One of them is they ask you to try to evaluate the economic damage in both the church and school, and we're not ready to do that. I mean, Wednesday evening, I'm glad to answer any questions I can about the CARES Act and everything that has been involved in that. But our problem is that we don't yet understand the full impact on our finances. And so that's one of the reasons that if you look in your Glimpses and there's a link, there's a link you can click, and it actually says at the top, it's a PDF file. It says upcoming business meetings. And we specifically said that we would address the CARES Act, that is, whether to use those funds or return those funds to the PPP program, actually to return them to Chase Bank that's operating under the Small Business Administration. So just so I didn't want to create any expectations there for everybody, that will be, we know the earliest we can be ready to talk about it is end of June. Love to be able to talk about it before then. Just Don Walter is doing yeoman's duty, being sure that he does a really good job with the accounting. And also, if the congregation were to decide to use any of those monies, how much of those monies should be returned? And how do we go about the process of turning it into a grant? So I just wanted to be sure that I didn't create any false expectations there about the questions about the CARES Act coming up. At this time, Brad Wiggs, I am not seeing any additional questions that you have sent to me that have come in through the chat session. And I am not seeing any more that anybody's sent to me directly. I really, really appreciate all the questions that have been asked here. If you would like to unmute your microphone, just remember we're recording this session. But if you would like to unmute your microphone or raise your hand to ask a question or send it through, we'll be glad to try to answer. Mr. England will be glad to, I should say, he can answer all our questions. Mr. England can answer the questions if you would like to ask any directly that way. Anyone at all that would like to do that. Brad, help me see here if anybody raises their hand or unmutes and wants to ask a question. Well, all right then. I am not seeing any. Am I missing anybody? So let's see. You sent me a text just now, and that said that Oh, here's another question. Yeah, sure. On the Wednesday night meeting, now remember Wednesday night, remember we said this morning in the service, we know we're throwing you some strange curves. It seems like we're moving the meeting times around a little bit, but I assure you that is not purely arbitrary. What we were, pastors and deacons, we were talking about, okay, how can people have plenty of time to answer or to ask and answer questions? And so, yes, I just got this question in. Could you send us questions ahead of time for the Wednesday night meeting? Oh, that would be outstanding. The Wednesday night meeting, I'm going off the top of my head here, but if you have additional questions, I should ask Mr. Engler, are you available Wednesday evening after the service if anybody has additional questions?
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay. And so we'll answer questions there, questions about the Heritage Christian School administrator salary and benefits package, the mission, there's a missions motion that was on there. And I'm trying to remember, there's nominees we need to nominate from the floor and elect the nominating committee that sets up and prepares for the office or prepares for the slate of the ballot for the September motion as well. Deacons, I'm trying to remember, did I leave anything out I got them all? Really?
The Camp Peniel missions vote.
Yes, which is a missions.
And a missions. Also the quarterly financial statement.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Yeah, the quarterly financial statement. And I'm not sure, is Don Walter on here tonight? I'm not sure if I saw him on or not. We, just to shorten the meeting on a week from this morning, just knowing, we don't have childcare right now. We just, with the social distancing and everything else like that, what we might try to do is go ahead and make a presentation on Wednesday night. Let me talk to him about that. It would mean that we would end up emailing the financial documents to all of you in a PDF form, and he would go through those. But our thinking is anything we could do to get as many questions answered so that it would shorten the discussions on Sunday would be really good. Yeah, the missions motion is about supporting Peniel Bible Camp. So in answer to the question someone just sent me, by all means, email me questions. That would be superb. And we will do our best to try to get those answered. And if I don't know the answer, I'll find somebody who does. That would really be good. Okay, other questions? I'm not seeing any hands raised or anybody unmuted. Looks like we're in pretty good shape here. And you did it in just about an hour. That was really good, really amazing. Very good. Well, let's see, anything else I left out that I should have mentioned? Do pray about, obviously, the finances for Heritage Christian School. We're evaluating those very carefully. And there are some situations there that we are causing us concern. I think a lot of it comes down to the effect of the COVID-19 pandemic on the ability to earn money from many of our parents and what they're wrestling with about Heritage Christian School. But as Mr. England, just said so passionately in this morning's message, there's a real need here for Christian education. And so we'd like to do everything we can to be co-laborers together with the Lord. I'm talking here, looking to see if I can get any other, I do not see any other questions coming in. And Brad Wiggs, I'll ask if you'll give me the thumbs up. You have not seen any more on chat. Am I correct? Okay, very good. Very good. Well, thank you for this evening. I'm going to ask Tim Hogue, would you be willing to unmute your microphone and pray for us as we dismiss? Mr. England, thank you so much for the questions and answers this evening. And this will really give us wisdom about going forward. And let's see. Tim Hogue has to get technologically astute enough to unmute his iPad. Let's see if he can. We're watching him do it in real time here. Or I could pray. Hey, you could call my cell phone. You could call my cell phone and pray over the phone. And I could. Okay. Oh, the joys of technology here. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed, shall we? Let's pray again. Lord, we are so grateful to you for your loving kindness in giving us good gifts. You are the Father of lights. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation, no variableness, no shadow of turning. And one of the gifts that you say that you give us is you give us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gifting dear people with your grace, transforming them by your grace, and then giving them the ability to serve you. I pray now, Lord, as Paul said about Timothy, when he said, I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state. I pray that you would help all of us to evaluate now and to vote according to our consciences about Mr. England's tenure, about the nomination upcoming very shortly. Thank you so much for the message that he preached this morning and for the answers we've heard this evening. And Lord, bless us, encourage us as we go forward for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.